Let's pray in silence. Lily Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we begin our hymnal session. Let us sing hymn 146. 146. Verse 1. Let's sing the next hymn, 204. Sing hymn 204. Verse 1. To the promised land. 3. Let's sing the next hymn, 228. Sing hymn 228. Verse 1. Crucified. let's sing the next hymn, 236. Sing hymn 236. Verse 1. Thank God our hymn session ends here. Hallelujah.
Let's have a silent prayer. We prepare our hearts for today's service. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we begin our Sabbath service. Let us arise to sing hymn number 441. We will now have our first prayer. In our prayer, we thank our Lord Jesus Christ for His guidance that we are able to gather together for this Sabbath service. We pray to the Lord God to guide us in our service. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we kneel down and pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Grace of Lord Jesus Christ, I wish you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Today, we'd like to share on this topic, Paul's exemplary life in Philippi. It is the Spirit of the Lord God that led Paul to Philippi to preach the gospel. He stayed there for a short period of time. Later, when he wrote his letter to the church in Philippi, the church has already grown in faith. He is full of joy to remember this church in Philippi. Of course, it is the word of the Lord God that was established in the hearts of the believer. And it is the words of the Lord God that bring them to maturity. But in bringing these words of the Lord to them, the workers of God play a very important part, both in giving them the words of God, as well as to set an example to them when they are in the church. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 verse 18, he says, "For I will not venture to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and by deed." This is what we want to share with our brothers and sisters today, to make the Gentiles believe by word and by deed. The word of God is what he preached to the people. The deed is the example he set before them, giving them an example of how this word of Lord, of the Lord God is lived out in our Christian life, how it is implemented and is practical to our Christian living. This he shows in his action among the people. We say that it is the word of the Lord God that changed us. And so, we walk in the newness of life. If we continue in our old ways of life, if we did not discard our former practices, then how can the people believe in us? How can the people believe that the word of the Lord God will cleanse us? We as Christians, we ourselves must be able to manifest the word of the Lord God in our actions. But these shepherds of God, when they bring the word of the Lord God to the believers, at the same time, they must be able to set forth an example to them. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Here it tells us how we are to shepherd the flock of God. Here it tells us that as we shepherd this flock of God, verse 3 says, "Not domineering over those in our charge, but being examples to the flock." So here it tells us shepherds must be examples to the flock of the Lord God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his ministry on earth, has once said, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you." He has set us an example that we must be able to do just as our Lord Jesus Christ has done. So these teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ is brought to us by both his words of instructions as well as the examples that he has set before us. We look at one example. In Luke chapter 6, In Luke chapter 6, our Lord Jesus Christ talks to his disciples concerning the teachings of love. In verse 27 and 28, he talks about how we should love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Now, this is the teachings of love that our Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples. But how is these teachings to be implemented in their life, in their association with the society that is around them? So that's why when our Lord Jesus Christ brought them up for the ministry work in Luke chapter 9, it tells us on one occasion, Luke chapter 9 from verse 51 until verse 55, it tells us that on one occasion, while he set his face to go to Jerusalem, he wanted to pass through this village of the Samaritans. So his disciples went there to prepare the way. But the people there do not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But our Lord Jesus Christ replied. Our Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them. And so here it tells us that from this incident, our Lord Jesus Christ also, by example, teach them how to practice these teachings of love. Our Lord Jesus Christ reminded his disciples of this teaching that he spoke to them in Luke chapter 6, of the how they should love their enemies, how they should do good to those who reject them. To the disciples of Christ, they have heard these teachings, but in their practice, they thought that since these people in Samaritan have rejected them, they are to retaliate, or to ask fire from heaven to come down to consume them. Instead, our Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants them to understand these teachings of love and how these teachings of love is to be implemented in our life. Paul, in the midst of his work, he is able to live out these teachings of Christ. That's why he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Because Paul followed the example of Christ, that's why we follow this example that Paul has set forth before us. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Chapter 3, verse 17, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." So Paul tells the people that they must be able to look at these examples of the people who fear the Lord God. Watch how they live their life. And this is the way that we must also be able to live our life. Now we are in this topic of Philippians. We want to talk about this short period of time that Paul was with the Philippians and what was recorded in this passage of the Bible. How Paul lived his life among them. And this life bears the teachings that he wanted to impart upon them. We want to see what the Philippines is able to learn from Paul. And we too learn from this. In Philippians, in Acts chapter 16, it talks about this period of time that Paul was living together with the Philippians. And two things that we want to learn from. One, his spirit and attitude in preaching the gospel. And two, his attitude in service. In the first point that we want to talk about, his spirit and attitude in preaching the gospel. We saw two occasions that Paul went out to preach the gospel in Philippines. In two incidences, in two different situations, involving two very different characters. One is beside the river, the other is in the prison. Both these occasions, Paul preached the gospel to the people. The first incident, recorded in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 15, it tells us of how Paul preached to the people beside the river. It is the Spirit of the Lord God that led Paul to Philippi. This is a new place to him, a place that he is not familiar with. He is here to preach the gospel. But how to go about it? Where to start? To whom should he approach? These are things of consideration. But when Paul is in Philippi, he seeks out this opportunity to preach the gospel. When he heard that by the side of the river, it's a place that the people used to gather for prayer, he went over there. There should be an opportunity in this place to preach the gospel. That is what Paul thinks. That's why he goes to this place. Wherever Paul goes, he always seeks a place to preach the gospel. In another case mentioned in Acts chapter 17, from verses 10 to 17, it tells us that when Paul was preaching, initially preaching in Berea, the Jews in Thessalonica came over. They agitated the crowds. They stirred up the crowds. They decided to send Paul away from Athens to wait for his companions to come over there. Verse 16 tells us that Paul was waiting in this place in Athens. The purpose they sent him there is not to bring the gospel over to this place, but to escape the persecutions of the people and to wait there for his companions to arrive. But when he was in this place, he tells us that his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. Verse 17 says, so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happen to be there. So here it tells us that when he saw this city was given to idols, it moves him in his heart that he wants to seek an opportunity to share the gospel with these people. He went to the synagogue. He also go to the marketplace in order to share his gospel with them. So when he saw these people needed the gospel, he seek an opportunity to share the glad tidings with the people. But this is what we must be able to do. Not to wait for the opportunity to come to us, but to seek an opportunity to share these glad tidings with the people. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 2 tells us, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Here it tells us to preach the word of the Lord God. Be instant in season and out of season. At every moment of time, we must be able to preach this gospel. Or we must be able to seek out an opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ. We thank the grace of the Lord God. The gospel was preached to Fiji. In the initial days, because there is one member from Taiwan who went to Fiji. So when the volunteers go over to Fiji, they mainly go there to preach the gospel to our member's friends and his workers. And so a point of worship was established in Lao Toka. After a few trips, our volunteers over there, they feel that since they are now in Fiji, they must make use of every opportunity to be able to expand the gospel work over there. They went all the way to the capital of the city in Suva. There's nobody that they know over there. But when they arrive in this place, they go from house to house distributing pamphlets. If the people invite them, then they will go in to share the words of the Lord God with them. But they also stand at the marketplace and at the park to distribute pamphlets to the people. We thank the grace of the Lord God. Through this work, we are able to preach to the first believer in Suva. And later, the work expanded. And there are more people there who came to receive the word of the Lord God. This is also what we must be able to do. To seek an opportunity to preach the word of the Lord God. And we come back to this Riverside in Philippines. This is a place where the people used to gather for prayer. When Paul chose this place, it is a wise choice. This is the correct place to start our evangelical work. Because the people who gather here are the people who fear the Lord God. They gather here for the purpose of worshipping the Lord. They may not know the full gospel, but there are people who will pay attention to the preaching of the word of the Lord because their hearts are inclined to the Lord. With this background, we expect the people here are more receptive to the preaching work that is done. And through the grace of the Lord, it is the Lord God who moved the hearts of Lydia, and so she and her family believed. But not everything went smoothly in Philippines. When Paul cast out the demons from the girl who was possessed, her master conspired against Paul and Silas and put them into prison. In the prison, the circumstances is not so conducive. The people here are wicked in their hearts. They are rascals. They are criminals. The other person who is here is the jailer. His purpose was to confine the people to prevent them from escaping. He worked for those who prevented the gospel from being preached in this place. So it is unlikely to find a truth seeker in this environment. There is no sincere people here who wanted to hear the word of God. And the people who are confined here, they are also so stressed out, and maybe even shameful of their condition. It is unlikely that anyone who land up in this prison is willing to share the gospel. We can say that this is the last place for evangelism. But in Acts chapter 16, from verse 25 onwards, it tells us that in the midst of this environment, Paul and Silas had peace. They sang praises and they prayed to the Lord God. And the Lord God walked in their midst. And there was an earthquake. The foundations were shaken. The doors were opened. Their chains were broken. This jailer, probably he had never heard of Christ. It never occurred to him to want to be saved. Maybe the first time he was introduced to the gospel was when Paul and Silas were praying and singing in the prison. That is before he fell asleep. After he woke up, he saw the work of God. He discovered how fragile his life was. In this moment of life and death, he heard the comforting words of Paul, telling him not to kill himself. This brought hope to him. He desperately desired to be saved. He cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" He learned, he obeyed, and he was baptized. In this most unlikely place, the most unlikely person received the grace of the Lord God. Indeed, the Lord God accepts those who realize their sins and choose to come to Him for repentance, for mercy and grace. Who would we predict as a better candidate to be a Christian? Of course, we will think that it is Lydia. Because she was a prayerful person, she is one who seeks the Lord God. But this jailer also received the grace of the Lord God. In truth, they are both equally good prospects for our evangelical work. Because both of them are people who are helpless. Both of them are like sheep without a shepherd. They do not know the word of truth. They are the people whom our Lord God will show compassion to. They are the people that the Lord God will give opportunity for salvation to those who are looking for Him and to those who are even unaware of Him. But He wants to save both men and women, rich and poor, those of high status and those of low status, the righteous as well as sinners. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 tells us that He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. It is to us who are given this commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring the gospel to all men without prejudice, without reservations. We must walk in this way so that the gospel of Christ can be brought to all men. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 6. Verse 6 tells us, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. We do not know who can be saved. We are also not to judge who can be saved. But we preach the gospel at all times. Maybe one of them will be saved. Maybe both will be saved. Paul had this heart to preach the gospel because he felt the grace of the Lord God is so much. He always remembered how he was called by the Lord God. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 9 and 10 tells us, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it is not I, but the grace of God that is me. Paul always felt that he was not worthy for this grace of God because he was a persecutor of Christ. He persecuted those who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, those who want to preach the word of the Lord God. But yet, in the midst of this sin that he committed, the Lord God called him. So he was so thankful for the grace of the Lord God that he wanted to work more than others because he felt this grace that the Lord God has given him is so much more. But he knows that to be able to do this work of the Lord God, it is the grace that the Lord God has given him. Also, that's why he always talked about himself as a debtor to others. That he wanted to bring this gospel of Christ to the sinners of the world. Freely he had received, freely he must give. And we must have this same spirit like Paul. The second thing that we want to talk about here is talk about Paul's ethics in service in the midst of the church in Philippi. If we go back to Acts chapter 16, in verse 15, it tells us that after Lydia was baptized, she urged Paula to come to stay with her. Here it tells us, and should prevail upon us.
Oh, in other words, it tells us that when Lydia invited Paul to stay with her, Paul rejected this reception of Lydia. But because of her insistence, later on, Paul stayed in the house. At that time, when Paul preached the gospel in Philippi, just now we already said that this is a new place to him. And now that Lydia and the family were baptized, this is a place that he is able to set foot on. And from here, he is able to go out and preach the gospel. It is a much more convenient place now. But here it tells us that in the beginning, Paul did not want to receive this reception of Lydia. This is something that we can also learn from Paul. In his ministry work, he do not want to take advantage of this situation. Because there are believers here, then he will take advantage to stay in this more convenient place. Paul's understanding concerning this reception is very clear. In his encouragement to the church, he wrote in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. Verse 13 tells us, here he says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. But this is what Paul encouraged the church to do, to contribute to the needs of the saints and to show hospitality. To the believers, this teaching is only right. That is, as believers, we must be able to receive the workers of God so that they are able to preach the word of the Lord God with peace of mind. But this teaching is correct. But Paul, in his association with the church, he do not want to exercise this right. He do not want to take advantage of this right. He explained this very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 14 and 15 tells us, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provisions. So here, Paul says that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living from the gospel. But when he is among them, he do not make use of this right. Verse 18 says, so that he can proclaim the gospel free of charge. This is the heart of Paul, the heart that we must learn. We as members, we should support the workers of God. But at the same time, we as the workers of God do not take advantage of the situation. In the midst of our work, we must also have this spirit of service. Just like a father who is serving in his household. Once Paul had these words to speak, to share with the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 12, verse 14 onwards, he says, when he comes to them, he will not be a burden. For I seek not what is yours but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for the children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. This is the attitude of a servant. We choose rather to spend and be spent for the souls of the people. Paul, in his life, he is able to live out consistently this life of service, life of sacrifice for the church, life of sacrifice to the believers. This is something that we as workers of God must also be able to learn. That's why when he encouraged the elders in Ephesus, he has these words to share with them. He tells them, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourself know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is not more blessed to give than to receive. These are the words that we share with the people. That it is more blessed to give than to receive. But Paul, in his life among them, he is able to show them this. That's why he is able to testify to them. When I am among you, I have coveted no one's silver or gold. This is the attitude of Paul in his service. But in the end, Paul also received reception of the media. His spirit of receiving the reception of Lydia, it is not because of any gains on his part, but he knows that for this person who received the worker of the Lord God, it is the Lord God who will remember her work and bless her. So that's why when he wrote to the church in Philippi again, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. It is not the benefit that he has received, but by receiving this reception of Lydia, he is pleased that Lydia will have the fruit of her labor. The Lord God will bless her. This is what we must also be able to do. Having this understanding that these believers, their offerings towards the Lord God is acceptable because they know that this is a service to the Lord God. And through this service, they are able to receive the workers of the Lord God. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we use this to points for our encouragement. In this world that we live in, the people must be able to see Christ in our life. Matthew chapter 5. verse 16. Here it tells us in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We hope all of us will be able to be a light unto the world, so that through our works, the people is able to glorify our Father in heaven. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing another hymn. Shall we arise to sing hymn 492, 492. Jesus Christ for his guidance in our service today. We will now have a prayer. In our prayer, we ask the Lord God to continue to guide us in our life so that we will be able to be a light to the world. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do that. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, you have
Let others see Jesus in you. Telling a story, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you.
Our substantial, all great, O Lord Jesus Christ.